Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So Shefty did tweet this out. He put it side by side on a screenshot. This was his tweet last week. Also worth noting, one source said this week that after Houston traded Pro Bowl wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins last offseason, Deshaun Watson's anger level was a 2. This time, it's a 10. Deshaun Watson, within the last half hour, tweeted this out. I was on 2, then I took it to 10.
So. Well, and you saw, who was it, Andre Johnson also, who I heard Greeny yesterday say the last time Andre Johnson actually, he hasn't tweeted anything in 2 years that isn't an advertisement for something, and he actually tweeted something that was supportive of Deshaun Watson and actually leaving. So, like, people, even prominent people around the team, obviously understand why Deshaun Watson wants out.
Do you remember when they did that search committee where they put the Spurs guy on the search committee? R.J. Buford, I think his name is.
Yeah, that made your football nipples hard, didn't it?
It did. Do you know who was on that committee?
Tony Dungy.
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson, yeah, he was.
And a week or two later, he's bad-mouthing the team.
Who was on our committee this time?
Ted. That's our committee. It's George and Ted, and it's an excellent adventure. George and Ted's excellent adventure, and it's Bears hell.
You know they're getting in an old station wagon and driving across country.
They're definitely inside a phone booth. Yeah. You know they got a phone booth up at Hallis Hall still. Let's go to Doug Kazarian right now. Let's win some money. Let's make some money. Let's make it rain. Doug does great work on ESPN. You see him all over the place. He writes columns as well, and he joins us each and every Friday on the Corona Hotline. Doug, how you feeling today?
Well, I was having a good day until I heard the term football nipples. So I really don't know how to proceed the rest of my Friday.
Good night, everybody.
I think it's a good thing. Football nipples are good.
Yeah.
I told you guys, I don't know how this ends well. I still don't now with Deshaun Watson. Like, how does it end well in Houston? It does not.
Can't, Doug. I mean, seriously, as you zoom out of this, and there are a lot of things you say in life, not you, but you, the average person goes, I can't believe that. And then you digest it a little bit and you go, yeah, I can see why that happened. This, to me, makes no sense that the Houston Texans have allowed this to get to this point with a young quarterback that is this talented.
Well, just remember, these guys, these owners or whatever, they make their money in other industries, right? And we learn as some of these companies go belly up or whatever, we learn about how some of these companies are mismanaged. I have friends in other industries, and I cannot believe some of the stuff that's going on in their companies. Like, I'm very, you know, grateful on many fronts to be working with ESPN. But, like, corporate culture sometimes just has the knuckleheads in management positions. Yeah. And who's ever making some of these calls, who's ever, you know, making the trades or just the interactions, there's just a disconnect sometimes with employees in a lot of industries, and this seems to be one company.
Yeah, we're experiencing some of that, I think, a little bit in Chicago as well with regard to the overall, the outlook for our franchise, but that's a conversation for another time. Make us some money, will you, Doug? Make us some money. What about the this Rams-Green Bay game where I think the health of a lot of the Rams may determine some of the outcome here?
Yeah, I wish you could bet on Alabama again. I think it's just so tough. We talked about it all the time. The margin of error, the NFL betting market is just so tight. It's really tough. I'm going to play a teaser. You know, like we always like to say, I say what I'm going to do. Everybody can kind of listen. They can fade if they want, for all I know, as long as they're listening, right? But I like the Packers. Take them down to pick or minus a half, minus one, win the game. And then with the Ravens plus 8.5. I just think this Packers, it's really too much of an oversimplification just to be like, well, Rodgers is better than Goff. But I think it may come down to that because we're not comparing, like, you know, punters. This is the hardest position in all of sports. And when there's this big of a gap, it's just really hard to envision Goff doing enough. His playoff numbers are horrendous. And that's, in theory, facing better defenses over the years. I give Sean McVay a lot of credit, but Aaron Donald, we'll see about his health. Goff's thumb, we know about. I just think this Packers team is too potent. We've talked about it, how Rodgers is just a wizard right now before the snap. You factor in the weather for a team that's from L.A. and coming east. I don't think the Rams will be able to score enough here. Now, they may cover, but I just like the Packers to get it done, at least for a win.
All right, let's go to the nightcap then. I think everyone's interested in this. We have a resident Bills fan. Mark Gene Greco does the sports on ABC7.
Sure,
is a huge
bull.
He's very nervous, Doug. So the Bills are a home 2.5-point favorite against the Ravens.
Well, you didn't have to add the nervous part. You said that as much when you said he's a Bills fan.
Yeah.
So
yes,
that's just how they're wired over the years. The four falls of Buffalo, as we know from the 30 for 30, has certainly ingrained some fear factor in them. But look, this should be an awesome atmosphere, right? The Ralph at night, snow likely in the forecast, cold temperatures. Lamar Jackson has said he's never played in snow. But Baltimore finally won a big game, right? That's something that eluded them most of the season. They did beat the Browns on Monday Night Football at the Dog Pound, but for the most part, Baltimore's kind of disappointed. That defense that is top five in defensive efficiency in both against the run and pass finally looked the part. Shut down Derrick Henry, and then obviously Tannehill was unable to do much after that first drive, the first touchdown pass, the second drive, I should say, the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown. So I'm expecting a defensive battle. I like the under here in the 50 range. I think the weather's going to play a factor. It is dangerous because Lamar Jackson can break one like he did with the 48-yard touchdown run against Tennessee last week. But it's a lot of points where I see a game that's going to have some clock moving. And this Ravens team is nasty, especially on defense. So I think the Bills will be up for the challenge. I think it's one of those coin flip games. That's why I like the +8.5 in a teaser. But I also like the under.
Doug, are there any prop bets inside that game that have drawn your attention at all, whether it's rushing yards for Lamar or it's rushing yards for Josh Allen? Is there anything that caught your eye?
Yeah, I think the passing attempts for Lamar Jackson, 26.5, feels a little high. I mean, his passing yards prop is 200 or 199.5, something like that. I would take under there. I just think they're going to focus on the run and lean on their defense. And for me, I mean, Lamar Jackson's rushing totals in the 74.5 range feels high, but just one run can completely shake that all up. Like I said, he had a 48-yard run last week in Nashville, so I would side to the under in Lamar Jackson's passing attempts and also the passing yards.
What about Cleveland, Kansas City? This is interesting. I mean, what Cleveland did last week was truly remarkable. And the Chiefs have been in closer games in the regular season, but a lot of people just thought they were kind of coasting. So how do you see this one? The Browns are a 10-point dog.
Yeah, so the Chiefs technically are 1-7 ATS in their last eight games. And the only cover is when at the last second that Saints-Chiefs game went from 3 to 2.5. So it was really 0-7-1 when you factor in most of the money was on the 3 or even 3.5 earlier in the week. I just don't think it's as simple as, oh, it's playoff time, let's flip the switch. I think there's just something we have to remember about this Chiefs team, and that the defense is not very good. Now, I think this team is actually better than last year's team that caught a break. Week 17, Patriots lose a 17-point favorites. Chiefs then get a bye because of that, don't have to face the Ravens. We're trailing by double digits in the second half against the Niners in the Super Bowl. So a lot of things broke right for the Chiefs. Again, I think the team's better and more polished, and we shouldn't diminish winning, right? Winning is very hard to do in the NFL, and they've certainly done that. They were 14-1 prior to resting starters in Week 17. I'm just concerned for the team that rested starters in Week 17 and had a bye week. I don't think the rust just shakes off because it's a playoff game. So I'm actually grabbing the 3 points with Cleveland in the first quarter. I'll take +3 flat, so even money. And just hope that Mahomes has to punt or something like that, or the Chiefs or the Browns can just run it down their throat and maybe get a touchdown of their own.
Doug, how about the last game of this weekend as the Bucs visit the Saints?
First time ever in the playoffs that we get two players that are not specialists that are 40 or above. And today is Drew Brees' 42nd birthday. I'm really excited. I'm going to play the over here because as much as I want to grab the Saints who've dominated the first two matchups, and this one's in New Orleans, we know Michael Thomas came back. We know Kamara came back. I just think the eye test shows that this offense for the Bucks is different than when they last faced. And that was 2 months ago they last played. So Brady, the zip on his ball looks sharp. Gronk is there. The other tight ends are there. Antonio Brown is getting incorporated and weaved into the offense a little bit more effectively. And if Evans is healthy, although he's gimpy a little bit at the end of last week, I just think it's a potent offense. I think the underneath stuff is like sort of the kryptonite for this Bucks defense. And I think that plays into Brees really well, even though his passes don't look that sharp. I still don't think the total is high enough. We're in the 50 range. I like the over here in dome, perfect conditions. I'm not going to say we're having an obscene shootout, but we'll get enough points to cover the 50.
Doug, what you said, it sounded like one of your favorite plays was the first thing that you mentioned was the Packers as a pick'em. If you were going to tease them and pair them with another play, what would be your second favorite play to pair that with?
The Ravens plus 8.5. I mean, okay. We talk about C numbers in NFL betting particularly, right? So 3, 6, and 7 are such key numbers. So if you can take a teaser through those numbers, because you kind of teach yourself the value of these numbers is buying the half point on and off of 3 or 6 and 7, it costs more than 10 cents like it does the other numbers. So if you can use that and go through those numbers, you're getting 8.5 with the Ravens who could win, right? Like a short dog. I think that's really desirable. And the Packers, again, we only have a limited sample size. Packers from 7 to 1 or something like that. I think that's how I would play my teaser.
Doug, before we let you go, any college hoops or NBA stuff you like?
You know, I'm circling a couple things. First of all, we should keep an eye on the first period overs. The goalies did not get enough preseason work. They're not sharp in the hockey. We're seeing a lot of overs in the games as well. So I would look at the first period overs just because, I mean, goaltending is like kind of an art, right? And they're just not in midseason form, for lack of a better phrase. In the NBA, I'm looking at the Jazz -6 against the Hawks. I think Hawks just aren't that good to begin with. But when they're shorthanded and they've had injuries, some of their shooters, they can really go through dry spells, and teams are kind of learning how to defend Trae Young. And I think the Jazz can match the shooting of the Hawks when they're shorthanded, the Hawks being shorthanded. So I'm going to lay the 6 there. But this Knicks-Cavs, man, I'll tell you, 197 for an over-under. That's the lowest in the NBA all season. So I'm fascinated by that one. And it's still coming down. So that one intrigues me, too.
Awesome. All right, Doug. Good stuff. Thanks,
Doug.
All right, thanks, fellas. Enjoy the football weekend.
You too.
There you go. There's Doug Kazarian. He's been with us all football year. He's been giving out. I'm tempted to hit this total goals over on the Hawks Lightning again. You know they're playing again in Tampa the way they do things now.
Yep.
And remember how many goals the Hawks gave up in that first game?
Was it 5?
Something like that. Yeah. Was it 5-0 at the end of 1? I believe it was.
And the over did not hit in the first game. It was 6.5, and right now the
he said first period.
Yeah,
over.
First period did hit. It was so it was 1.5.
That's what it is now. Is it always like 1.5? So it may be a good play tonight. I may put $10 down.
There
on
you
that.
Go. There you
Why
go.
Not? Put some interest.
Get crazy, man.
There were some prop bets they were giving me on some NBA that I fell for that I could share with you coming up with. Did you see LeBron and Zion are playing tonight? There's a good prop on DraftKings with that one. So 312-332-3776. Deshaun Watson continues to be upset. We're all over that. And JD will join us at 4 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Programming announcement. We're going to have Liam Hendricks on the show today.
Nice.
The time to be determined. And it should be here in the next hour to hour and a half. I'll keep you posted on that.
Newest White Sox edition.
Yes, it was made official today. The signing was official. It was announced, I think, on Monday or reported on Monday. He's very, very good. He's very, very fun, too. So we'll talk to Liam Hendricks coming up on the show. JD also
nice.
Coming up. We need a contestant. We need two, actually, for What's at Stake. Which game are we playing, boys? Are we playing the Packers game?
Yeah, let's play the Packer game.
So what is that? 6.5 the Packers are giving?
It is. It's 6.5. The number right now is the Packers are a 6.5-point favorite.
All right. This is from our great friends at GT Prime. GT Prime is located at 707 North Well Street. It's the Boca Restaurant Group. They are absolutely awesome. It's a Kevin Bame. It's Rob Katz. And they keep things safe. You need to pick up from there. You need to support local.
Support local.
You know, hopefully these restaurants can open soon with numbers going down. And Giuseppe Tintori, their executive chef, he's a superstar chef. So takeout and delivery. Plus, Giuseppe is offering virtual cooking classes. Guests can book through bocagroup.com/experience. Here's the way we play. We need caller 20 and caller 40 at 332-3776. Caller 20, you get to pick. Do you want the Packers -6.5 at home, or do you want the Rams plus the points?
Packers.
Is that who you would take?
I probably would. I have too much uncertainty with regard to Jared Goff's ability to hold the football in that weather with that bad thumb. And how is Aaron Donald going to be affected by his injury from last week? And Cooper Kupp was limping around at the end of that game. And Aaron Rodgers is pretty good.
I picked every game wrong, I believe. I think I went 0-6 too. Against the spread last week. So, like, any, like, I'm just not, can I sit out this week?
No, you get, no. What? No. No.
See, like, I bet like the public. I bet like you. I would say Packers, too. You know, you like, you can't envision a lot of that, like you just said. But that's how it's gone. Like, the Packers will have to squeak out, like, a one-point win on a Mason Crosby field goal.
It could be. Like, listen, that, if Aaron Donald is able to go like 90%, that Ram defense right now is playing at a very high level. And hasn't Vic Fangio had some success containing Aaron Rodgers in the past? And the Rams defensive coordinator is a Fangio protege. So, like, they've got a little bit of a formula there maybe for giving them a chance.
Yeah, don't you think because of what happened with Staley, and that's the one that you're talking about, who was with the Bears a couple of years ago. He followed Fangio to Denver. Mm-hmm. The Rams hired them as their defensive coordinator. He was here. Don't you think because of the fact that a lot of other defensive coordinators who are out there may not want to take a job where the head coach gets fired in a year, and the fact that they missed on Staley, that a guy like Jay Rodgers could be the best
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's house guy. Yeah, it sounds like the best opportunity. I'm with you. I don't know how attractive the job is. I mean, listen, there are a lot of talented players on that side of the football, but if the staff is on notice, who knows, for crying out loud. I mean, you don't know. They sat and told you it's got to get better, but, like, their evaluation of what's better and what improvement entails, like, is not standard and normal.
Did you see Wade Phillips is asking back in?
Yeah, maybe Wade.
He's retired from retirement. Does he still he's up there though? I mean, in like the first couple of years,
he's like
La Russa's age, isn't he? How old is Wade Phillips?
Wade Phillips.
I bet you he's 75.
Wade Phillips is 73.
Okay, when's he going to be 74?
Yeah, he'll be 74. You're right. When the season begins June 21st.
See, so I was 1 year.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's. Listen, he may be a good job for him.
That's what
some
I'm saying.
Some people may age shame him like you just did.
No,
and
I'm
say,
asking you. Like, so he was 2 years ago. They were doing all the features on NBC about young coach, old coach. Look how great they are. He's head coach of the defense. Would that be a similar situation to Vic Fangio?
And then Sean McVay pushed him down a flight of steps.
Right.
And he
said
he couldn't get up.
So yeah, I don't know.
It may be. He may. That may be an opportunity for him to come and do it. I would suggest to you it's most likely that they hire from within. But like I said, like we're sitting here going, well, they really got to win because George told us that you know, improvement is necessary here. What's improvement?
Yeah,
like, what is tangible improvement to them?
I'm glad you said that because it leads us into a really good soundbite about the defense and about the future. If you missed him, the entire interview available on the podcast, we talked to Lewis Riddick, everyone's favorite guy in Chicago right now. People love Lewis Riddick. Great broadcaster, future general manager. He was on with us yesterday analyzing the Bears situation, and he really painted a picture that is sort of bleak. Take a listen.
The defense is getting worn down, worn down, worn down, three and outs. They're back on the field, worn down. Time and possession is killing them. You can't take advantage of the turnovers that they're creating for you. You're losing football games. All of a sudden, the psyche of your football team starts getting affected. You're worn down. You're worn down. You're losing games. You see this defense that's just so good, and you're still just trying to find your identity, but you can't get it matched up. You don't have the quarterback to play the offense that you want to play. You don't have the perimeter people to play the offense that you want to play. You don't have an offensive line, really, that can play any offense that you want to play. And now you're sitting there going here, heading into 2021, going, well, now where the hell do we go? Now what do we have to do? Because we have 1 year, basically, to get this right. We pretty much need three new starters on the offensive line. We're probably going to lose our best receiver, possibly, in free agency. Who else do we have? Who are the home run hitters? We're in the bottom quarter of the league in explosives, in the pass game and run game. And we don't know how we're going to get a quarterback to replace the guy who right now, look, we just have to face the fact that he's not good enough. I thought he would be better than this. He's not. Mm-hmm. How are we going to fix that? We can't. I don't know if we can fix it. How are we going to get a middle-aged veteran who's an explosive playmaker? Who's going to let that kind of guy go in the first place? And then in the second place, if someone was even available, what do you have in order to even acquire a guy like that? It's the worst of all situations. And on top of it, your defensive coordinator just retired. So now you have to fix that too. Now you have to have the defense that was a strong point have to learn a whole new scheme under a different guy and help carry the load for an offense that's going to be in a state of flux again. So I don't know how you fix that.
Are they stuck, Lewis? Lewis, are they stuck?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, and you know what, that hurts me to say, simply because, look, I mean, we're not just dealing with, you know, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, nameless gray faces, okay? I know Matt Nagy. I know him very, very well. I know he means well. I know he's a friend of mine. But the fact of the matter is, this situation has not been managed in a way that there is an easy way out here in 2021. There just isn't. And I'll tell you this, too. This is the issue with when a new coach comes in with an incumbent general manager who has already invested in a quarterback that maybe necessarily isn't the kind of quarterback that you ideally would want, but you were hired to run the offense that people saw at your previous stop. You try to make that work. You keep trying to make that work. It doesn't work because the quarterback is incapable and you don't have enough firepower around him. Then you try to change midstream and then other things start breaking down. And it's just a bad concoction. It's just a bad timeline of events that now they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And honestly, I'm just going to tell you this, I mean, just flat out. I don't know how in a year that gets fixed to the point where it looks so much better in 2021 that people go, ah, they finally hit it. I don't know how that happened. And if you're expecting that to happen, then I would say this. The chances are slim and none. And if that's the case, then, look, from an ownership standpoint and from a decision-making standpoint, if you're just going to hold these guys to a one-year trial and say, look, either fix this year or that's it, then you don't really know how to assess your football team very well because there's no way you can really just fix this. It's not a one-year fit.
That's right.
It's not a one-year fit.
It really is a great summary, wasn't it?
It is. Like, we do all agree, right, too, because I don't think we've all even said this. Like, if you put your hand in the air, the Mitch Trubisky experience is done, right? Like, is there anybody voting?
For both parties, yes.
Yeah, not like, I mean, I'm just saying, just in general, not even making an editorial, but, like, the Mitch, can I hear the eyes? Is the Mitch Trubisky in Chicago experiment over? Is what you're predicting is he won't be back next year?
Aye.
Come on, really? Do you need, like, does this side just, of the does I'm this asking, side of the staff need
do I
to
get a vote?
Do we have to vote?
Yeah.
Well, I heard today on Cap and Jay Hood that David Kaplan is reporting sources. That Trubisky is out.
Sources.
Cap sources say that it's sources. Over. So well,
I'm asking you.
Whoop. Sam Presti is running the Bulls.
Oh, Sylvie.
Ted Phillips is retiring.
I'm sources. Asking. I'm asking you guys. So you guys are, because we haven't all said it.
Can I change?
I'll tow the Camry out of town. I mean, what do I need to do to get him out of here?
I just wanted the vote.
Enough.
I didn't need the editorial. I just wanted the vote.
He voted.
So all of us believe that they are going to run. Listen, you guys sit back
there. First to report.
Listen. Like, do they do anything that makes any sense? Do they do anything that makes a lot of sense? Ever?
No.
So what I'm saying is, as you can giggle all you want, but there's a track record up there of doing stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Can I get your vote? Never mind. Forget you guys.
Aye.
Nay!
Aye.
Waddle's World is coming up next.
I just hurt myself.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
It is getting weird around here. Waddle's World is brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. I have an injury update for you. I pulled my hamstring getting out of my... No, I'm joking. Rams quarterback John Wolford has been ruled out, and Jared Goff will be your starter, as expected, against the Green Bay Packers. He's ruled out, and Blake Bortles will actually be in uniform for the Rams as their backup.
We were surprised that he was not active.
Yes, we were.
Considering what their health was quarterback-wise.
Also of note, the Bucs are set to start running back Leonard Fournette. Ronald Jones will be a game-time decision. And today's NFL Injury Update is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Rush has been providing excellent care to patients throughout the pandemic. There's no need to delay health visits. They offer care in safe environments or virtually. Learn more at rush.edu.
Can I give you the...
you can, yes.
The updated schedule. Liam Hendricks, as I told you, is going to join us. We have a time for him now. Liam Hendricks is going to join us 20 minutes from now at 4 o'clock.
All
new
right.
Sox closer, which means JD will join us at around 4:30. To wrap up all the Bears crap. And so that
Bears
is your programming update.
Wrap the crap. Is that what
wrap
JD is? JD will be with us at 4:30 to wrap the crap.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap that crap. Wrap the crap.
Okay, you can go now.
Wrap the crap. Russell Wilson wants input on the new offensive coordinator for the Seahawks.
He should, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that that'd be a reasonable request for Russ, right?
Yeah.
Wilson made the point known to Pete Carroll and to reporters on a video conference. I think it's vital. I think it's critical. Super significant, obviously, that I'm a part of the process. You know, it's interesting because that team was one of the more up-and-down confounding teams of the 2020 season, weren't they?
Yes.
Like, at the start of the year... Offensively, you couldn't stop him. Russ was just dropping bombs on everybody.
Yep. Defensively, he was the MVP in the first 8 games.
Defensively, couldn't stop a fart.
Right.
And then, like over the last 6 weeks, their defense was the best part of their team, and offensively, they couldn't get anything done. So the offense couldn't produce a fart, I guess.
What,
would be the best
let's say, I know this isn't going to happen. This is just a would you rather. Let's say Russ would get mad at them because he...
Would you rather have Russ or Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
I would probably right now take Deshaun Watson because of his age. Now again, pie or cake. Like either way, if somebody goes, no, you're wrong, you get that guy. Pie. You're like, you're not going to go, ah, oh, damn.
No, right.
No, I mean you're going to go, oh yes.
Is Russ the third, fourth best quarterback in the league though? Who's
Are you going to me get on that quarterback roller coaster right now? Okay, let me get on that. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are 1-2. You decide this year I'm giving Aaron Rodgers the MVP, but I would rather have Patrick Mahomes because of his age.
Who's number three?
Tom Brady ended up this year with a fantastic year. Josh Allen, it's got to be in your conversation.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen had a better year than Russ.
Okay, so you put Allen 3.
Wouldn't you say?
Maybe Russ 4. Brady 5.
Well, I mean, again,
Watson 6.
Josh Allen having a better year than Russ doesn't mean that he's, you know, that you would automatically take him over Russ. But right now, the improvement he's made in year 3 of his tenure.
It's fantastic.
It's been great. I mean, like, isn't the quarterback the roller coaster? I mean, it is nauseating at times, isn't it?
But the same stuff happens in the NBA every year, right?
Where, does it?
Yeah, sure, the top players. Now, all of a sudden, we remember at the beginning of the year, KD was ranked like 9th because he was coming off the injury.
Well, those people are silly.
We all knew KD would probably be the best player at the end of the year. But, like, where is LeBron? Where is AD? Where is Harden now? I think those fluctuate year to year, every season with the NBA.
I think quarterbacks, for the most part, outside of the Mahomes and Rodgers, they get on a more volatile roller coaster.
Where's Steph? Like, every year it's different.
And it happens throughout the year, especially with young quarterbacks. Like Kyler Murray, everyone was like, oh, Kyler Murray, he's my guy. I got the Kyler Murray jersey. He's got, and then like teams reacted.
I still like him.
I'm just saying. Like I still like, you know, Matt Ryan. But you get on the roller coaster with Matt too. It's just like it's never a straight line. You're gonna puke at some point. You are, unless you're a fan of the
Packers.
I've
never puked on a roller coaster, ever.
Really?
Never.
Well, I think the NFL quarterback roller coaster is more violent than any roller coaster you've ever been on.
Doubt it.
What was the one at Great America, Bleck, that shockwave?
Yeah, they used to give you that.
Oh,
you would
headaches.
Have to.
Yeah.
Your back would be all screwed up, your back and neck.
Yeah, it would give you headaches.
Where do I sign up for that?
It would jolt you around so much. And now they I think they tore it down and they made it the Superman.
It's where Superman is now. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. I know Great America like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were there? I mean, was it closed this year, right?
It was Fright Fest, not this past October, but a year ago. Because don't forget, this was my love, and now I've got kids who are riding roller coasters now. Mm-hmm. Like, Mason went on the Demon when he was 5.
Against his will, no doubt.
No, he was all in. I took Braxy on the Whizzer when he was 3.
Braxy whizzered all over you, I bet.
Yeah, he pooped his pants. He loved it more than Mason.
I think Dad pooped his pants.
This is like, I can't wait. That's going to be my most fun thing about, like, you know, taking the kids to the ball game is awesome, too. I want to ride roller coasters again. Can't wait. Can't wait to be back at the theme park.
There you go. Falcons have offered their head coaching job to Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. The Yankees have finalized a 6-year, $90 million deal with DJ LeMahieu. I think I just saw Jesse Rogers also reported, right, that the Cubs and Javi agreed on an $11 million deal.
That is correct.
So they avoid arbitration for the last year.
$11.65 million. So that's coming your way.
Did he say anything about agreeing on anything down the road or no?
I did not see. I saw briefly. I saw Jesse's tweet.
He agreed to a trade.
That's not funny. That's not funny. James Harden has thanked the Rockets and the fans
for putting up with them.
Did you see, too? Like, I guess he had a restaurant in Houston that was going to open.
Spent a lot of time there before he actually went to the team.
You got to try the menu. What are you talking about? You got to get everything right.
And they gave it all like a 1-star review on Yelp because they're all mad at him.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving set to lose nearly $900,000 for violating the league's coronavirus protocols. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about this, but boy, the Nets experience should be fun. Like, not if you're a Nets fan, maybe, but as somebody who watches basketball and likes that roller coaster as well, it could be quite interesting.
I can't wait. Yeah, it will make it fun. I wish the Warriors were whole. I wish Klay was playing. So they would be fun. I need more good teams.
Despite COVID-related postponements, NBA trainers and executives do not see a shutdown ahead for the league. So
that's good news.
Yeah, so steady as they go. Oh, and Adam Abdallah just put his hand in the air.
The Bears defensive lineman Mario Edwards has been suspended without pay for the first two games of the 2021 season. He is scheduled to become a free agent in March, and this is from an incident that occurred in week six before the game against the Carolina Panthers in a hotel room. While the Mecklenburg County District Attorney filed criminal charges against Edwards when a woman filed domestic violence order of protection against the 26-year-old defensive lineman. TMZ had the first report that he assaulted her. She took out her phone to record Edwards yelling at her, and he reacted by smacking her in the eye and hitting her with his hand. Then he grabbed her by the arm and dragged her to the door of the hotel room.
Terrible. I remember when that was reported. He played in that game, and he had been. I think he's been in and out of trouble during his NFL career. So I would assume he's not going to be back with the Bears.
Probably a good assumption. And also, there's a report that police in Colorado are investigating Denver Broncos linebacker Vaughn Miller. He's the subject of a police investigation in Parker, Colorado. Police in the suburb of Denver confirmed today he's under investigation, saying if the investigation determines a crime has occurred, charges will be submitted to the DA's office for their review. So that story just came out a little bit ago as well. When we come back, we have some nonsense and a little something we like to call Florida or Ohio. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Before we get to the nonsense, there's a story with regard to the Edwards report that needs to be clarified, right, Adam?
Yeah, the original report was that he was suspended because of the domestic abuse allegations, and he has not been suspended because of that. He's suspended because of the violating the PED and substance performance-enhancing substance policies.
So Is the domestic violence case still open?
Yes.
So it could be a double dip coming up.
Again, he can be a free agent in March.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good character guy. Probably should.
Culture?
Yeah.
Shout
out to the culture. Guys doing PEDs.
Okay.
But don't look at me, Waddle. They said it. I didn't look at you.
I wasn't looking at you.
I'm just making sure.
Does he respond to his emails? Does he collaborate well?
I was looking at my papers. I wasn't even looking at you. You sound awful. I don't know why you got agitated there. I mean,
it's for the performance of the show.
Okay. I think it was a nice collaboration. Good work. Abdallah, maybe what you did a few weeks ago wasn't so saucy and scary. The EU is saying that worms are safe to eat.
The EU?
The EU, the EU? European Union, the an EU. Agency inside the EU. Yeah.
No, okay, read the story, though.
The vaunted Mediterranean diet and French gastronomy are getting some competition. The European Union's Food Safety Agency says worms are safe to eat. Big deal. I want my money back. I want my $180 back.
No.
It wasn't much of a challenge.
Okay, first of all, they say the yellow mealworm is safe to eat if it's, like, prepared.
Oh, that's different.
Well.
How about the night crawlers that you try to catch bass with?
I'll offer you $180, then, now that you know the news, then.
Why don't you be
quiet?
I'll
offer you $180 to eat the worms today.
To eat what worms? Mealworms?
No, I'm giving Waddle, because Waddle wants his money back because it's not that big of a deal.
No, yeah.
You can get your money back if you eat the worms now that it's easy.
That's not part of the equation.
Let's be honest. I just want to see how.
Let's be honest, though.
When was that ever part of the discussion?
No, let's be honest, though. If Waddle ate the worms, they wouldn't be in his system long enough to create a parasite. They would just go right through.
I've eaten a worm before. No doubt.
When you were a kid?
Nightcrawler. You got hammered fishing with my brother. Hey, eat this. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
You don't even have to dare me.
That's right. So eat your worms, Adam. Collect your money. Just know that you're not the tough guy I thought you were. You're not Chuck Norris. You're not Chuck Norris the way I thought you were that day. I thought you were the Chuck Norris of worm eating. Not so much. The EU, the food people are saying that they're actually not bad for you. Nova Scotia is where we head next. A bizarre set of circumstances has netted a Nova Scotia man a conviction for drunk driving. Local police were called to a section of highway out there for a motor vehicle complaint. Responding officers found a parked car straddling the white line. The car was missing its front windshield. There was a hole in the back window, and there was an axe on the back seat. At first, police said it appeared the car was empty, but then a man leaned forward in the driver's seat. He was later identified as Trent William Lewis. According to a court decision issued earlier in the week, Lewis asked police why he had been pulled over. It was then that Judge Scoville writes that the officer noticed Lewis had his pants down to his knees. Believe I can take judicial notice that this is an unusual way to wear one's pants when operating a motor vehicle, the judge wrote.
He had an axe. He was just chopping wood.
Do you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings.
Really?
Or get maybe out. Just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Are we sure that our market manager, Mike Thomas, is not from Florida or Ohio?
Oh, boy. I don't want any part of that.
And
that didn't sound like
it. He might have a different name. Man named Rock warned not to rock. When cops questioned him, when cops questioned him about a neighbor's complaint that he was blasting music at 1:30 a.m., Nathan Rock offered a justification. Rock, age 40, explained that you can't play Led Zeppelin quietly, man, according to a police report.
He's got a point.
Yeah.
I think this is Midwest. Midwest, the man classic who works, rock dude.
The man who works at a Wendy's near his apartment said he was trying to practice singing as he intended on booking studio time in the near future to record an album. I don't know why it matters that he works at a Wendy's.
Wendy's are very prominent in Ohio. I don't know how many Wendy's are in Florida. I'm sure there are a lot. I've had Wendy's in Florida.
They're around, Waddle. Okay. Wendy's is, yeah.
I didn't know if it was more prominent in one area or the other, but I know they're prominent in Ohio.
Play Led Zeppelin quietly, man. Have you all made your guesses?
I'm going to go Cincinnati.
I'll go Ohio.
Yeah. We're all Ohio.
3-for-3. The man just wanted to rock in Huron, Ohio.
Yeah. Nice job, boys.
Where at?
I said Huron.
Oh, Huron. Okay.
Pretty good.
Do you need to get your hearing checked?
Well, look. Liam Hendricks is going to make some noise on the South Side. And
now, that's a professional segue, ladies and gentlemen.
Get out. We talked to Liam Hendricks next.
Give him a Marconi.
Yes.